maybe a 10,000 foot view or 10 foot view, stepping back from what we're experiencing right here in this body right now. That's such a valuable perspective. You can really make some great insights and probably some great changes from doing that exercise.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I'm so excited. I've got some friends back in the studio. I can't wait. And, you know, I'm loving catching up with people. I lost track of some of my dear, dear friends during the pandemic. And now that we're out of it, I think we're all reinventing ourselves. So I wanted to talk to a couple of my dear friends that are always just a plethora of fantastic ideas, doing so many wonderful things. Plus, I'll share a little secret in a little bit because I want to call one of them out on an amazing job they did. So anyway, let's get an introduction for him so we can start talking to him right away. Because one of the things I want to talk to him about is resilience. I think that's how bouncing back is the big thing. So first, you probably will remember from past shows when we had Tamara Green on, and she spent her entire adult life evolving personally and spiritually, and her daily practice of moving the body and spiritual readings and meditation and prayer have transformed her life in miraculous ways. And now she's sharing that with others. She has a new YouTube channel out. I'm going to give you the URL, but I'll also put it over at Understanding Autoimmune. Tamara Green, ACIM. If you just, you know, search for that on YouTube, you'll be able to find this wonderful discussion and lessons on The Course of Miracles. And then let's jump to her partner, David Dashinger. He's a retired fire lieutenant and EMT with over 21 years of a leader in emergency services. And you might remember that we've had David on the show, David and Tamara on the show, because David is a thriver after a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. And he's still thriving. He's still going strong. And now he's the producer and host of this amazing podcast. Some people, when I first heard about the topic, I thought that's incredibly focused, but I've listened to the shows and it's so relatable. I could look at it kind of like the Autoimmune Hour. You don't have to have autoimmune to get something from our shows. And his new podcast is called Responder Resilience. And it's for people who are from the emergency services community, but it's all about heroes and how they get through all sorts of things in their lives. So, oh, and David's also a 2-time Grammy Award winning nominee. And if you listen really closely to some of the promos and the voiceovers, you'll hear his beautiful music in the background. So we're going to talk about that too. So much to talk about. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to see you.
It's so great
to be here with you, Sharon.
Oh my goodness. I don't know where to start. Just so much going on for all of us and stuff. But first, kudos, Tamara, for the awesome YouTube channel. I'm really enjoying your insights and walking away with great tips all the time. I had read the book, Course of Miracles, a while ago. I have to be honest, more than a while ago. It's been out for a while. And when I'm watching these, I'm going, yes, I forgot about that. Or yes, I need to take that back up. So thank you for sharing that. And we'll talk more about that. But I also wanted to talk to David, and since we're on the topic of YouTube, everybody, if you haven't been to Autoimmune Hour's YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/understandingautoimmune, just like our website, Understanding Autoimmune. Go over there. First off, subscribe for us, okay, so we can keep the channel going. But David has made the most exquisite, awesome intro for the show. You know, when you go to YouTube and it says, welcome to our channel, when you watch that roll, that video feed of what the show's about, that's David's amazing work. So thank you, David, for doing that for our show. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was fun, and it was a pleasure to do it with you, to play with you in that realm, Sharon, to like co-create something, right? I think we're blessed when we can create something with friends and people who are like-minded and doing good work in the world. So it was absolutely an honor to work with you on that.
And you made it so easy, and you made me look intelligent. So bravo.
Well, you're very intelligent without David, but I agree with you. It's such a beautiful finished product, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I love that the show is continuing to go on the path of growing. And wanting to call out FeedSpot and painresource.com, both for listing us as shows you should be watching and listening to in 2023. So thank you, painresource.com and FeedSpot.com, for that honor. It's awesome. Now, where to start, guys? I want to talk. I know Course of Miracles, there's some conversation about resilience and keeping going, keeping moving forward, positive mindset and stuff. You guys share with me, what are your definitions of resilience?
Well, I think we can tie this into current events in terms of the pandemic we've all been through, or we could tie it into personal journeys that I think everybody's on a personal journey of resilience, really. It's really maybe which way you're, you know, which direction you're facing at the moment. But to me, resilience is, it's reinventing. It's having that opportunity to take the lessons and experiences that we've learned and see what worked, what didn't. And then what can we change? What other choices can we make? What other possibilities can we bring into our reality to do it different and better, or just, you know, elevate our life? And so to me, resilience is really about reinventing and having that opportunity to play in the kind of a realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of reinventing, that is what A Course in Miracles really is about. Well, maybe not reinventing, but unlearning all the stuff, the crap.
Unlearning.
Unlearning. You know, enlightenment is not a learning, it's an unlearning, so that we can, you know, get through the dark clouds and see who we really are and operate from that place. So resilience, when we're not feeling resilient, we are very much in fear. But resilience means, to me, it's a sense of, I don't even have to understand this, but I got this, because, you know, God in the universe has my back. And I know that, you know, that sense of faith gives you a real powerful sense of resilience. And of course, A Miracles is taking us out of fear and into love, which they actually refer to as the miracle, out a mindset out of fear and into love. So that's my definition of resilience.
Wow. Okay, I got to ask this question then. I had been told that resilience and courage, a few of the other kinds of words that I kind of placed there in along that with commas, is, you know, feeling the fear and doing it anyway. There's probably more to it now after I've heard David and I've heard Tamara tell me their interpretations of the word resilience. It sounds so much bigger than that.
Well, I think really depends on the definition of the word fear too, right? When fear tends to like encompass, you know, all this like negative kind of approach, right? Negative mindset, being in an adversarial position, things, you know, attacking us, being in a protective position. But what if fear is more about excitement and the fact that, you know, something different is happening that we're not used to, but perhaps we can embrace that in some way. And that takes us to the next step we need to be at, which is the same thing as saying, you know, go out of your comfort zone, go through the open door, just move out of fear into some kind of, let's check it out. Let's see what's on the other side of this.
And my definition of fear is the absence of love. So what do I mean by love? There's so many different, if it's even fair to say this about love, but there's so many different virtues or ways of looking at love. Compassion, curiosity about the other person or toward yourself, interest, gratitude, forgiveness, right? There's all these different aspects of love that we can always put into a situation of fear. And I agree with David, when we're growing up and You know, we're like, maybe we're on the little merry-go-round thing on the playground and we're hearing our mother in the background going, be careful, be careful. We're having this really great time. It's so much fun, but we're getting the message. Uh-oh, wait, maybe I should be afraid of something. Uh-oh, wait a minute. So we're really in excitement, but we kind of learn, we get these conceptions that maybe I'm doing something that's really, you know, not good for me and something to be feared. So we get kind of fear and excitement or leaning into something new kind of mixed up a little bit because we just need to unlearn that.
Right. And it's a little bit of this trepidation about the unknown, right? But what if there's something really cool on the other side of that unknown, or we allow ourselves to like dip our toe into it instead of going, you know, that's scary. I hear that phrase a lot from a lot of people, that's scary. And in fact, is it really scary? Or is it like a judgment or a belief that we're making about it, right? Are we really examining the thing for what it truly is? Or are we just completely deciding arbitrarily or based on our prior experience that something is not good for us or not a good thing to do? So again, I think like if we can feel more secure that we are blessed and that we have people looking out for us, or even, you know, people beyond this realm looking out for us. Well, not even people, it's probably just energy that's, you know, looking out for us. It's got us to this point in our lives. Somehow we were protected through all the zillions of things that could have gone wrong, and here we are, you know, still alive, still doing it. To me, that's a miraculous thing, and I think it's a sign of resilience that we're still here.
So definitely want to swing back to just part of the conversation, because I'm nodding my head over here. One of the things that is interesting to me is, and I pick them up in childhood for sure, but still kind of hit me like Velcro balls even as an adult, are other people's fears being placed on me. I know this is done out of love, but you know, you guys know I travel a lot, and somebody will text me, safe travels. Now, I know that's done out of love, but I'm kind of thinking, are they worried that I'm not going, that I'm going to go purposely unsafe? You know, I mean, I know that's kind of a ridiculous sort of, it's not a complaint. It was just an observation of how other people's worries about things can stick to you like those little Velcro balls that are.
You know, that's a perfect example that you give, Sharon, about it's so kind of subtle,
innocent in a way, but not,
and well intentioned,
but the underlying message is, you know, you got to be really careful and be, you know, be on your toes and really notice what's going on around you, because there is something to fear when there's not. It's just simply nothing to fear, but we've really been taught to fear quite a number of things,
yes.
For an example, or stepping into something new.
Now, I do want to take a little bit of a turn here, because since we're talking about these kinds of conversations and beliefs that get put upon us, you guys, I mentioned in the opening there that you guys have walked David through his amazing thriving and recovery from stage 4 cancer, and Tamara from the caregiver side, and from my side, going through the autoimmune diagnosis, there was a lot of fear placed on me from well-meaning medical professionals. They give you the great big long word as the name of what you got. And then they go through all the stats. And in my case, they were kind of scary stats. Luckily, I didn't know what the big long word meant. So the stats meant very little to me. So it didn't sink in until later when I looked it up on Dr. Google, which I don't recommend. But let's talk about have you guys come up with ways that you could shield yourself and say, thank you, and I don't need to know that. I don't want to like shut people down, because I know even doctors are giving you this information from a well-intentioned place. I felt like I was swimming upstream to get to a healthy place again.
Right. I totally relate to what you're saying, Sharon. And, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for not buying into the data that they're giving you, because they're giving you data that, you know, it's basically generalized based on other people's experiences and other people's health and lives and outcomes. And why does yours have to conform to that set of data? So I think, you know, I like to call it drinking the Kool-Aid, but I say don't drink the Kool-Aid and get whatever information is really pertinent. And then maybe don't buy into the rest of it, or, you know, look too deep into it, because why can't we create a different possibility for ourselves health-wise than all these, you know, statistics that we're being fed?
And it just might be a real eye-opener to the doctor. I mean, you know, I have a lot of clients of mine are medical doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, and maybe we're even, it's a beautiful opportunity to open them up to a different perspective. So, you know, thank you so much for sharing this information, Dr. So-and-so. But I'm going to focus on visualizing a much better outcome than you just presented, because, you know, you don't have to say those P's, but for everyone to know, as you visualize, so it is. So thank you for this information, but I'm going to choose to spend my energy on what it is I'm deciding to experience instead, something like that. And then it just might make that doctor think, wait a minute.
And at a minimum, it takes your own unconscious mind and goes, yep, I'm on board with the positive.
Right. Let's focus on what's possible. And, you know, it's even interesting. I think we may have even talked about this in one of the shows. I had an epiphany when David was going through his treatment, and I was so, you know, kind of attached to the idea that he had to, you know, he had to get better, and we had to grow old together and see our kids grow up and have children, get married and all that stuff. And I realized how attached I was, and the stress that it was creating for me, and probably for David too. And it was a real epiphany when I decided, or when I realized that I was very attached, and it's not about the outcome as much as who am I being right now in this moment. I don't have tomorrow, so let me focus on right now. And what can I focus on now in this moment? Because that's the only creative place we have, is now in the moment, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. In other words, we're literally creating our tomorrows by what we're focusing on now. So let me focus on being present and loving and helpful, and maybe getting curious, like, my beautiful body, you know, what do you need from me? What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to teach me? I'm listening. I'm all ears. I'm right here with you right now.
I love that idea of an attachment to an outcome, how that can really impede our growth and impede other possible outcomes.
Well, it's fear-based, so it can, anything fear-based can be not serving you or anyone else.
Another piece to that is, by way of a story, a friend of mine, very close friend, was diagnosed with cancer, very serious cancer, and he decided to go down the rabbit hole and look it up and go online and see what was out there. And he put himself in a place where he got progressively more depressed and sad, and went down that dark hole where now, where every minute is so precious, because he does, you know, none of us know how many minutes or days we have, right? Anything can happen at any time, but especially when you have a serious diagnosis, now every minute is that much more precious. And he put himself in a place of being, you know, really depressed, fearful, worrisome place of what was going on with his health, and then unable to appreciate anything in his life during that time. Now, the flip side of that, which is not helpful, is now we're putting ourselves in a stress mode, and we're creating hormones and a immune suppressing condition in our body by being so stressed out and so worried, that now we've kind of hampered the resiliency of our own body. So it's kind of like a downward spiral that's, you know, not in our best interest. So just to say that, I think in our in times like that, when we receive such, you know, difficult news to process, we need to do everything we can to shift into the most positive space possible, not only to enjoy our life at that moment, but also to do the best thing for our body to be resilient and able to, you know, bounce back from whatever treatments or whatever, you know, disease process we're working with.
Yeah. Perfect example that has to do with David. When he was going through the beginning of the treatment, the doctor said, well, you know, you're going to lose a lot of weight and you're probably going to need a feeding tube and, you know, you may have to be hospitalized or maybe some infection, da, 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 da. And he literally walked out of that meeting saying, I'm not going to get a feeding tube. Go to the hospital. I'm not going to, you know, get an infection. You know, I'm not going to lose so much weight. No, that's not going to happen for me. And sure enough, he didn't have any of the things that were typical of that kind of pretty harsh treatment, you know, to the mouth, to the tongue, to the neck, to the teeth, to the gums. And
yeah, so this brings up the question, can resiliency be contagious? Like, I mean, David, with that, his resilient attitude, did it kind of like rub off on you, Tamara?
Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. Just, it's so inspiring. Very inspiring. He was just, David's a master at whatever he decides to do, man. He just puts us all into it, whether it's a marathon, whether it's, you know, right now it's a documentary that he's working on or getting, you know, like a video that he created for you. He just goes all in, you know, like, and does it, refuses to see anything stopping him from that goal.
Well, I know that when we decided on the video, it was all in. It was like, wow, that was great. And that was fast.
So it's pretty inspiring, isn't it, Sharon?
Yes. Yes. Because you guys know I had dilly-dallied along for a couple of years. And finally, I gave the green light to David, like, okay, and it was like, Sharon, hang on. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt.
Does that answer your question? Yes. It's very, you know, yes. The resilience. Yeah, it's has a ripple effect for sure. A very positive ripple effect.
I guess that's a better word than contagious, right?
Contagious is good too.
You look like you're trying to say something there on the video, David. You look like your cat has, you know.
I got thinking about the resilience thing and the contagiousness of it. And so what we're doing in our podcast is bringing guests who are, for the most part, experts in resilience in the world of first responders. And it not only appeals to first responders, but also to mental health professionals like therapists, because they work with first responders and help them through PTS, you know, post-traumatic stress and some of the other challenges. And what we're seeing is exactly that. It's a ripple effect of bringing guests who are presenting their amazing information, that their missions, what they're doing out there in the world. And the feedback we get is, you know, this is inspiring. This is helping open conversations and change the culture where before we wouldn't consider, you know, mental health was, you know, was something nobody wanted to talk about. So just to say that, I believe you're on the right track by saying it can be contagious to, you know, to share resilience or to be a living example of resilience.
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm thinking on my own mind and my own experiences that when I embody that mindset, as Tamara was talking about, choosing a different outcome, choosing my own choice of outcome, my own positive outcome, it's amazing. People do get on board. They might. I had one doctor one time, like, now remember, you're not cured. And I was like, I don't care. Whatever you name it, whatever you want to name, but I'm feeling good. So let's just leave it at that. And they back down. They're like, okay. But I was like, whoa, okay. Let's implant that in my head. You know, they wanted to make sure that I was using the correct language. I don't remember using the word cured, but they wanted to make sure I knew it was remission. And to me, it's semantics. I was like, I don't care. You call it whatever you need to call it to be good, but I'm feeling good. That's all that was my goal. My goal was not one of these highfalutin words. My goal was, how can I feel good and create good health?
You know, wonderful Dr. Bernie Siegel, who was, he's still alive, but he closed his practice. I'll never forget reading his book. Can't remember the name of it, but it was so good. And he was talking about, he worked with women who had breast cancer, and he ran support groups for his patients. And he was asked, you know, how much time do I have? I have stage four, you know, how many? And he said, I would never, who am I to give, tell somebody how much time they have? He said, you know, the mind is so, such a miraculous thing that if we really change our mindset, we can change even our cellular structure. And now neuroscience is even proving that. So who am I to say something like that? I don't know. Nobody knows, you know, but why don't you focus on what it is that you would like to experience? You know, focus on what makes you feel good, because that's what it's all about. And again, like I was trying to say before, not being attached to any outcome, because who knows, maybe this journey is really for you, and our job is to ask, okay, I'm having this experience, let's say cancer, or, you know, Crohn's or MS or whatever it may be. So what are you trying to teach me, body? What, you know, soul, what do I need to know that I haven't quite been aware of? Will you guide me? Will you help me show me what it is that I'm here to learn, to experience? You know, it's kind of like a reframe instead of focus on, oh my God, I'm so scared, what's going to happen?
I like that you brought that up, and I have to talk between me, word nerd here. When you said, what do I have to, body, what about teach, what do you have to teach me? I kind of bristle because I don't really like when people educate me. I've always had and then you reframed it. I know that little 4-year-old comes out and stomps its foot like, you know, I'm not going to be educated. Anyway, I don't know why that happened. Then you, well, maybe I do, but we don't have time. But then you got into this idea of, what do I need, body? Tell me, you know, what am I not aware of? And you started using all these other words, and I noticed that my body relaxed. So it's really fascinating to me to take time to figure out what is, as we're talking to ourselves, what are the words that our body likes to hear and will respond to in the positive? I mean, I don't know what it is about the word educate, but it still bristles to this day when people say they're going to educate me.
I think it's great that you brought that up, because maybe it's not, you know, asking, you know, what do I need to learn, but maybe what do I need to unlearn?
Unlearn, yeah.
what other people's, you know, beliefs or opinions about me that I've soaked up like a sponge when I was a little girl, do I need to now have come to the surface and release? You know, maybe it's something like that. But let me love you, body, through the whole process of that unlearning.
There's so much science, and not just in autoimmune, but in a lot of illness and disease within the body, that past traumas, past beliefs, the past ways of being and doing have led us to where we are now. And the idea of unlearning is really important, to reshape, reframe, and let go of those things that no longer serve us. It's just amazing to me. I don't normally watch reality shows, but a friend recommended a short series one. And I think, I don't know. Not that I got particularly hooked on the outcome of it, but I was fascinated by the way the people were unlearning things that had been unhealthy and unhelpful to them as they went through their experience on this short-term reality show. I think it took place over a period of a month or something. I was like, this is so fascinating to see people putting up such a resistance because this is the way it's always done. And then there was a moment of breakthrough. They said, well, it's no longer working this way of always doing it. What if I did it differently? And that's, I think, the critical point. When I got to, my health really turned around significantly, was taking the reins and control myself.
Let me take off these pair of glasses, how I viewed, because that's how I was, you know, taught to look at things. Let me take those off. And maybe I should, or could, I hate the word should, but maybe I could see through the eyes of, you know, the universe, through love. Maybe I can see through the eyes of love. Let me see this situation through the eyes of love. What shows up for me then? Something like that.
Absolutely. I also like to go to the observer position. Looking at Sharon over there in that inner exchange with person or whatever they're doing. And I had a mentor tell me this years ago, and I take it to this upper level. They were talking about the here and now when I was learning to be a public speaker about videotape yourself and then coach yourself in the third person. But I do that also when things aren't, I can't quite figure out what's going on and what's my next course of action, like what's the next step. I'll pop myself into that observer role and I'll say to that person over there, which of course is me, if I was to coach Sharon, I would, and then I'll say something from all my coaching training that hopefully is relevant. And it's fascinating how there is less resistance when I'm coaching Sharon than when I'm trying to quote unquote change myself.
Yeah. And one of the things that we can do in meditation also is become the observer more, right? We can start to observe our thoughts and become, yeah, just the watcher more so than like we're, you know, caught up in the actual game that we're, you know, we're playing right now. Game meaning the game of life or the game of, you know, creating our reality. And yeah, I think it's a beautiful point you're making, Sharon, that we can, you know, if we can take another, you know, could be a 10,000 foot view or 10 foot view, stepping back from what we're experiencing right here in this body right now. That's such a valuable perspective. You can really make some great insights and probably some great changes from doing that exercise.
Yes. And one of the great changes we have to do right now is take a quick commercial break. So we'll be right back.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and pop over to UnderstandingAutoimmune.com to listen to all the other 400-plus episodes that are over there as well. And tonight, we're talking about resilience and all those sorts of other things with two of my favorite people in the world, Tamara Green and David Dashinger. They're a husband and wife dynamic duo. They're always up to something fascinating, and Right now, I do want to shout out because I really love Tamara's new YouTube channel. So go over there. Guys, help us get it to that 100 mark. And right now, what you do is go to youtube.com and then you put in Tamara Green. And I'm trying to think, Tamara, it's
A-C-I-M. And it would actually be the 1,000 mark.
Oh, okay. Or the 1,000. Sorry about that, guys, but whatever. Let's help her get pop over there. Plus, you'll learn so much. It's a fantastic YouTube channel with lots and lots of interesting topics that Tamara explores in the Course of Miracles. And then you also want to listen to David's amazing podcast. It's called, David, it's called Responder Resilience.
Correct. Yep.
Fantastic. And you might saying, well, I'm not an emergency services person. But as you could tell, regardless of where you are at life, resilience, well-being, wellness, all those sorts of things, critically important. And I'm a big believer of finding out what other areas, what other groups know, because sometimes the biggest breakthroughs come when I, as an outside observer, go, oh, we could take that and put it over here and make it amazing for these people too. And people are like, well, I thought everybody knew that because that idea of you can't see, you know, a fish doesn't know it's in water. So that's what I love about listening to podcasts that I normally probably wouldn't just by the title go, I don't think so. But David's podcast, he's a great interviewer and he has amazing guests. So go over there as well. I just love these two, as you can tell. So
we love you too, Sharon.
So we're back here. I want to talk some more about resilience and things. But what comes to mind when you're talking to people and say they just got a diagnosis? And I want to talk about this place of, since you're a couple and you went through it together, caregiver and thriver. I want to talk, what goes through your mind as a couple to stay resilient? I mean, we talked a little bit about the personal part of it, but I know you two are just awesome. Was there specific things you did to stay resilient as a couple? Because I can imagine, you know, retreating to your own corners, just, ugh.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of this has to do with, you know, we've received a diagnosis. If we're working within the traditional medical structure, you know, they're putting together a treatment plan. You're, you know, going in for checkups and scans and whatever you have to go through diagnostically, and then whatever your actual medical treatment is. And that's fine. But what we tried to do, and I think we were successful, is to like empower ourselves in that journey as well. So what that looked like was, okay, we're going to let the doctors do what they do, and they did a really good job, but we're going to also do what we can do to reinforce, you know, the wellness piece of this. So we made sure to move, right? To literally just move our bodies. And that was go walking, right? I was a person who exercised in the gym, ran, did like extreme, you know, kinds of sports. I was reduced to like walking during my cancer treatment. So we walked. Yep. And it was probably the, you know, brutally cold winter, not the greatest time, but we still made an effort to go out. If we didn't walk, we shoveled snow. And during those walks, we would do a gratitude exchange, which probably the most simple and powerful tool to shift out of a, you know, place of negativity and fear into a place of positivity and, you know, possibility. So why don't you explain what that looks like?
Yeah, we called it our gratitude walks, and we would literally spend an hour going back and forth. Well, I'm grateful that we have two wonderful children that are supporting us through this experience as well. And then David would say, I'm so grateful that we have amazing insurance to pay for all of this. And back and forth and back and forth we would go. And by the end of the hour, we didn't have a care in the world, even though, you know, he was going through stage 4 cancer. It just lightens the load because it's all about the focus, right? You know, it's like if you have a plug that you pull out of the wall and you're you know, where are you feeding your energy? Well, in that hour, we were focused on only what we were grateful for. And does that feel good?
Wow. I love that. And you don't have to be sick to do that, guys. I'm just in my mind. I think how many, I'm a big walker and not, I've got a group of friends. They're not all as committed as I, but you'll find one some part of the day that you can snag. I love that.
Another aspect of that is, so we were talking a little bit about kind of being, you know, stuck in the past or worrying about the future, mm-hmm. especially in the context of a diagnosis. Well, when you do this gratitude exchange, it really puts you into the present moment. You're really thinking about, what am I grateful for right now? And somehow you just gravitate into the now, and all the past and the future melt away. And so that's, I think that helps to shift you into this mm-hmm. place of a little more calm and peace than you were when you started.
Yeah, I don't think anything can beat the combination of presence and love. I actually, the experience I have with presence is being in a loving state. So
what's interesting to me about the place coming from gratitude, and let's say, in my case, most of my walking partners are not my couple. So even coming from that place of gratitude, just having someone exquisitely listen, not rebut, not respond, not get triggered, whatever, you know, whatever list you want to check off. And just imagine the idea of the freeing and the comfort of being able to express gratitude, even for something that you might think a little odd. The yellow crocus are coming up in my front yard right now, and I've taken multiple pictures of them. I just think they're beautiful, and I'm so grateful they're there. And just somebody kind of listening to some of these even things that are a little more commonplace. I just imagine the healing after that walk of just knowing you've been heard.
Yeah, absolutely. I run a cancer caregiver group every week. There's a lot of upset with caregivers that their loved one experiencing the cancer is in their own little world, you know, of it's a kind of a me focus when they're going through it. And the caregiver,
which makes perfect sense.
Absolutely, yes. And no judgment, of course, right? It's probably even part of the self-preservation, of course. But the caregivers actually feel that, and they express how even lonely it feels to be the caregiver. As I explained to them, well, guess what? It's an opportunity for both the one with cancer or autoimmune and the caregiver, because you're both on a journey of self-discovery or an unlearning, right? It's an opportunity that is golden here that you can actually go for and really explore.
Yeah, that's the thing that I've noticed in a lot of people on the show will write me little notes. And it's not that I have spoken to them personally, but via the show, they go, oh, the so-and-so guest really understands what I'm going through. Or Sharon, you made this comment, it's nice to know that you understand what I'm going through. And I've often said it about myself, as when I would hear those on podcasts I was listening to, it was just nice somebody was confirming my sanity. You know, I know I've shared with you at times on my healing journey, because we've known each other a while, that sometimes I feel like I'm playing medical whack-a-mole, and that sometimes it's nice just to have someone listen. And sometimes I'm like, okay, it sounds crazy, but it's not.
Not crazy at all. Nope.
No, that speaks to the power of support groups also, where you can be in a group of people who are going through a shared experience. You know, it's individual, but they're also, you know, it's a collective experience. And, you know, I know Tamara can speak to this from her work as a support group facilitator, that magical things happen, you know, in that room, so to speak. Of these days, it's virtual more so than in person, but still magic happens in the group. And I think it's because of that shared experience and the common ground that you're referring to, Sharon.
Definitely, it's huge. And in fact, I have that on the website, You're Not Alone, because that's how I was my early experience of my wellness journey. And then I found out I wasn't alone, and it was such a relief. Now, speaking to that, do you guys have any tips on finding the right support group for yourself? I don't know about you, but I've been on lots of social media groups, and they all have different flavors and personalities, even though they're about the same topic. And is there a way to sort of mentally vet which one might be the best for you?
I get asked a lot you know, can you help me find, you know, I live here and can you help me find a support group? How do I find it? Word of mouth is the best. You, doctors or nurses or, you know, people that, you know, the practitioners that are in the field, let's say of autoimmune, you want to ask and ask and ask and ask, do you have any resources for me? I would love a support group. I've been a facilitator. I guess it's been almost seven years now, something like that, for a cancer support group called organization called Gilda's Club. And you may want to ask for, you know, the association affiliated, whether it's MS or whatever, you ask the associations, you know, can you recommend some support groups? That's usually the information that I give, and sometimes there's success, and and sometimes there's not. But you've got to keep asking and don't give up. Keep looking.
Yeah, absolutely. But I felt that way about even my medical professional team. I've gone through several medical professionals that were highly qualified on paper, but honest, great people, but just didn't get me.
Yeah.
You know, there was a mismatch, and maybe our belief systems or whatever it was just like a mismatch. And so, you know, a couple of times they fired me and a couple of times I fired them. It didn't matter. And now I have an amazing team that gets me and understands my goals and what those goals are and stuff. Now we're down to just about 5 minutes, guys. I love that you're just willing to strap on and go through this roller coaster with me of the show. But I do want to open up time for both of you. What would you like to share with the community? Just any final tips, questions I haven't asked, or sure, I want you to like shamelessly self-promote both of your shows because they're both awesome. And I think they really deserve to be listened to.
I think, just referring back to a couple of things we talked about earlier, particularly, you know, how our body may be actualizing some of the beliefs and traumas that we've experienced in terms of manifesting as an illness or disease. And that's, in our podcast, we speak with many first responders who experience trauma on a daily basis as first responders. And in the course of a career, they experience, you know, almost a couple of hundred of critical incidents, which are, you know, mega traumas, so to speak. It could be pediatric death. It could be a really horrific car accident or a suicide or something like that. And there's a modality called EMDR. I'm not sure if you've covered it on the show, but it actually helps first responders to move through these post-traumatic stress that they've accumulated from multiple traumas rather quickly and very efficiently. And I bring it up because, in the general population, I think a lot of people also experience traumas, whether it's childhood trauma or something that happens in adult life. And I would say that EMDR is something to consider as a way to work through that trauma and to, you know, basically put it into a place where it's no longer got the energetic charge that it's, you know, taken hold in your life. And that could, you know, be another step towards taking care of our body, taking care of our health, and to honor the body's resilience by handling the traumas and through this EMDR therapy.
Wow. So the community probably knows, I believe in synchronicity. David, two shows ago and last show, both guests mentioned EMDR. So no, I have not talked about it, but yes, universe, I'm listening. I will seek out an expert to be on the show. I listen for these patterns that happen. And that one, I was just like, okay, this is interesting that for three shows in a row, that topic has come up. Wow. Okay. I'm listening.
Right there. It's probably not a popular topic, but I want to plant the seed on this so it can just germinate. Like, that's interesting that Tamara said that. So from a spiritual perspective, we are a spirit that is eternal, and we come into this experience called human being on the earth in a body, right? So our body is not who we are. It's ours, but it's not who we are. Who we are is the spirit, right? So when you're looking through the eyes of the body, that is when there's a lot of fear that comes in, and worry and anxiety and fear-based thinking and that sort of thing, because, you know, it's the wounded ego that is very much connected with the body and really wanting to control the body, right, in terms of what it wants you to focus on. But if you can actually, you know, see through the eyes of spirit, your highest self, the wise one within you, the part of you that actually knows all the answers to all of your questions, because it's just, again, it's an unlearning to kind of uncover all the preconceptions that we've had throughout our life. And we begin to see through the eyes of our spirit self, our highest self, our authentic self. Oftentimes, it just seems to, you know, create a sense of calm, possibility. And when you connect with that, you know, that true self of you, you really are in a loving state. So another way, it's another way of saying, seeing through the eyes of love.
Wow. Love that. Thank you. Thank you guys both. We're just about out of time. I want to say once again that it's YouTube, Tamara Green, ACIM, and then David's podcast is called Responder Resilience Podcast. So check those both out. And if you would, as long as you're over at YouTube, check out my site, the site called Understanding Autoimmune, and be sure and subscribe to that too, so we can get some momentum going around that. Thank you both, my friends, for being on the show and just exploring with me all about resilience and finding out who we really are. And, you know, how do we do this journey in a nice and wonderful, healthy way? So everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. For the next few minutes, we'll be providing a guided meditation. Meditation is a positive way to help reset your day and does require specific, targeted attention and focus. Please do not drive or operate machinery during this time. As we say here, drive when you drive and meditate when you meditate.
Find a comfortable spot. Take a moment to move about, shake out all the nooks and crannies, get comfortable. Shake out your fingers and your toes, taking some nice deep breaths, and extend the exhale. If it feels right for you, make a noise on the exhale. Great way to let go of any last little stress. In the next few moments, go to your favorite spot. You know the place. Real or imaginary doesn't matter here. Take a moment to savor the colors, the smells, the textures and the patterns. Continuing to breathe deep and extend the exhale. Clearing your mind of any little thoughts that are just wandering through. Take this time to explore your inner truth. Continuing to breathe deep as you explore what is true for me. noticing what you would like to change and allowing that to happen. Continuing to breathe deep through each change, each thought. As your inner truth begins to take shape, continue to let creativity and imagination guide you. That's right. Let it go. Continuing to breathe deep. Anything that no longer works for you, let it go. Keeping only that which is for your highest good. That's right. Take all the time you need in the next few moments now to thank those parts of you that shared their inner truth for you. That's right. Thank each and every part for sharing, knowing that you can come back here at any time to continue this exploration. Anytime, anywhere. Giving gratitude for this moment, this place, and this time. Take some nice, deep, cleansing breaths as you begin to come back to the present moment. Right here, right now. Alert, awake, and ready to begin again. Eyes wide open. Nice deep breath to welcome you back. That's right. Welcome back.